on 106 to 108 FM and newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.
Another day and immigration yet again on the front pages. This time it's all about the tents on Mount Street, the Irish Independent tent city to be cleared amid plan to ban migrant camps, an operation to clear the tents around 200 asylum seekers on Mount Street in Dublin is expected to get underway as early as today. Simon Harris has called them shanty towns and he's pledged to ban asylum seekers from creating them in Dublin City as they wait for their applications to be heard. Gardaí are going to be asked to ensure that camps do not return to the city. So if you're moved somewhere and told you stay here, you're not allowed to go back to Mount Street, it would seem. Apparently the international media are loving Mount Street and the story, and they're there the whole time. I haven't been down there myself, but I know that obviously Irish journalists are covering it, but there are some from other EU countries there covering the story too. So I'm sure, I saw this on Euronews yesterday as well, I'm sure the Irish government not loving these images beamed across Europe of tents on our street outside an international application, or what's it called, an international protection office. The Irish Daily Mirror intent to avoid Rwanda. An asylum seeker living in a tent city in Dublin has told how he came here from the UK as he feared authorities would send him to Rwanda. The man is originally from Pakistan. He flew to Belfast and then got the bus to Dublin, where he lives in a tent on Mount Street. And as the Mirror reminds us, it comes as Simon Harris has vowed to clear the streets of tent cities. Irish Daily Star shanty blitz. Taoiseach Simon Harris has vowed to clear Dublin's tent city as the asylum row with Britain deepens. He says, "We do not live in a country where makeshift shanty towns are allowed to just develop." And it's also on the front of the Irish Times. Plan agreed for migrant deportations to UK within weeks. Apparently Ireland will start returning asylum applicants who came here through Britain within weeks under plans agreed by the government, although uncertainty remains over how effective the initiative will be in practice and what they'll do across the water when Ireland tries to start doing this. Also on the front of the Irish Times, the RTE long-awaited report is out. Well, certainly the minister has it, and a new report on pay and spending controversies at RTE has found multiple compliance failings in the state broadcaster. Ministers are facing into crunch talks on RTE's future funding. RTE's weakened finances obviously being discussed, and this long-awaited report by Professor Niamh Brennan sets out numerous governance and cultural issues that need to be addressed, but she is said to have exercised restraint on the question of apportioning any blame for lax RTE governance on any named senior figures. So no name, but the report is going to be brought before Cabinet next week. The Irish Sun, Rio backs George Brother. This is the brother of George and Kensho, and he's been hailed as a beacon of light by Rio Ferdinand. Emmanuel has joined the Footy Stars Foundation. Of course, George and Kensho was killed by Gardaí in 2020, shot, and he's now joined the Rio Ferdinand's Foundation. Inside the papers then, News Talk Breakfast are going to be discussing this. It's in a number of the papers, including the Irish Times. Ireland is a clear outlier in Europe for having a large average household size. This is new research from the ESRI. So basically, households in Ireland are larger than their European neighbours. The finding is strongly influenced by demographics, with a high fertility rate, a younger population and a high share of households with children. And this explains the difference between Ireland and other EU countries there. The average number per household in Ireland is 2.74, compared with the European average of 2.2 living in households across the EU. Now, we mentioned there No Mow May, which begins today. People are being encouraged not to mow their lawns, to allow all the animals, the insects, the butterflies, the bees, all that, to enjoy our gardens and let them go wild. There's another reason why you shouldn't be mowing, though. It's in the Mirror. Parents are being warned not to let their kids on ride-on lawnmowers, as at least two youngsters need hospital care every year. So apparently children hop on ride-on mowers and start going around doing their gardens, but Children's Health Ireland said it's dealing with increasingly frequent accidents with ride-on mowers, resulting in amputations of upper and lower limbs. Obviously, you have to have a huge garden if you have a ride on mower, but don't be tempted to allow your children onto it. There are accidents of all ages on ride on mowers, but toddlers, if you don't mind, are particularly at risk. So children should be nowhere near a ride on lawnmower, says Children's Health Ireland, even if they're supervised by an adult. And don't let the child sit on even as a passenger. It's not fun. It is a lawnmower and very, very dangerous. So you have to be careful with it. If you're heading off on your holidays and you want to get a bottle of water in Dublin Airport, don't expect anywhere to return the bottle and get money back for it, it would seem. Irish Independent says Dublin Airport has no plans to install deposit return scheme machines in the airport for drinks containers. Now, this is despite the fact that several shops do charge you the deposit money. So you know the way when you buy a bottle, it's 15 or 20 cent that you have to pay on top of the price of the bottle. That's grand, but you've nowhere to return it. I was talking to someone recently who bought a bottle in the airport and asked staff, where do I get my money back, the 15 cent? And they said, we don't have the machine here. So either throw it in the bin or you bring your bottle with you all through your holiday abroad, bring it home, keep your receipt and then try and get the 15 cent back. Dublin Airport says no, they've no plan of doing it. Passengers who've already left the shopping area for the boarding gates or who want to take their drink on board have no practical way of being repaid. So that's in the Irish Independent if you're interested in that. And then two final stories. One from the Times of London about Bumble. This is where women make the first move, but not anymore. Bumble has dropped the requirement that women must message a new match first because they're burnt out. Apparently Bumble have been listening to women and women are saying, we're fed up. We always have to make the first move. You know, these messages you have to send like, hey, how are you or whatever. It all gets very, very boring and tiring. And Bumble has produced a redesign allowing female users to set a question for a man to answer after matching. So apparently it reverses the burden of making the first move. So men will have to make the first move now instead of women. That's in the Times of London. And finally, mobile phones in the Sun today. 1 in 4 young adults say they've never answered their mobile phone. I don't even know my ringtone. I certainly don't answer it if it's on loud, if the phone's ever on loud. 23% of 18 to 34-year-olds ignore the phone ringing and they reply by text and having other uses for their device like social media and email. So essentially they have a mobile phone but they use it as a computer rather than a phone. Of the 2,000 people surveyed, those who do chat average 5.5 minutes a day on the phone, and the researchers say in an age of social media, voice notes and instant messages, the old-fashioned phone call isn't quite dead. Because some people chat for 5 minutes on it. Others would rather die, I think, than answer the phone ringing and let it ring out. And then you text someone and say, sorry, were you looking for me? Anyway, those are the stories in the papers.
On 106 to 108 FM and Newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.